This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this ninth day of December 2024. And tonight I'm with that renowned producer of mine, none other than, well, kicking it with Kenny.
Renowned. The yeah. Accolades are getting out of hand.
Renowned, profound. All right.
Well, good evening, Pastor.
Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
Good. You?
I'm ready to roll.
All yeah, right.
We got a lot to get through tonight, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And so the title of the message was Before There Was Anything, There Was Everything. And that's kind of a strange title of a message, but as we go through this, you'll understand.
Yeah, it sounds kind of contradictory, but it actually does make sense.
Yeah, I was listening to a guy today who was an apostate preacher talking about all the contradictions in the Bible. And as he was finishing his lies, he was telling some really big lies. He died.
Oh.
They had it on the internet there. He was out there. He was blaspheming, you know, and God. He was supposed to be a pastor, you know, but yeah. He was saying that all of these contradictories, he was an apostate. Then God is not mocked. God
no.
is not mocked. Anyhow, we'll start there in where we left off, and well, we'll begin in the beginning here in John chapter 1, and that's where we start. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, it's an interesting thing because, you know, these first two verses here, they actually predate the creation action of Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay.
And this is before that.
Right. And so here, these passages, right, again, they take us to a period prior to the start. So now we know, again, that in Genesis, the beginning was, again, the start of creation. But here, what is this? What, this is the beginning of what? Well, we know as we get to the book of Revelations, we're talking about another beginning. But that's the beginning of God's relationship with man from the garden all the way to the end. So, but what is this? What is this? This is the beginning. Well, this actually predates time. It predates time. And he goes on to say, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, a couple of things here. When we take a look at this, we see, one, that the word Logos, the Lord Jesus, that's a name for the Jesus. In fact, did you know that just in this one chapter, right here, one chapter of John, you have 12 different names for the Lord Jesus? He's referred to the Word, right here. He's referred to the light there in verse 4. He's referred to the only begotten of the Father. He's referred to as Jesus the Christ. He's referred to as the Lord. He's referred to the Lamb of God. He's referred to as the Master. He's referred to as the King of Israel. He's referred to as the Son of God. He's referred to as the Son of Man, and Jesus of Nazareth, and Messiah. All of those in just this one chapter. Okay. So now when we take a look at that, he's in prior to, he was pre-existence, right? So being pre-existence, this was prior to when time, and there was any time, you know.
Yeah, God didn't make time at this point yet.
Right. And time itself is simply what it's a measurement, right? From,
yeah.
From season to season, from happening to happening.
And we're all in right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Solomon said there's a time for everything, a time to be born and a time to die. And so all of that time is simply a measurement from this point to that. Now, again, time is something that that for some it's a good thing. Others times it can be a bad thing. It's
yeah, very much so.
It's, you know, time has taken its toll on us, you know.
People run out of time all the time.
Yeah. You've heard that saying, the old gray mare, she ate what she used to be. Well, that applies to a lot of us.
Yes. It certainly does.
It certainly does. And so here, but now, again, you and I have no control. Time has controls on us.
Yes.
And you and I, you know, we cannot take back, reclaim 10 minutes ago. We can't, or we can't, you know, we can't claim 10 minutes from now. We may not be here 10 minutes from now. And 10 yeah. minutes ago is gone forever, isn't it?
Yep, we have no control over it.
But time to God is what God says it is.
Yeah, God controls time.
Right. He can go backwards. He can go forwards. It's he owns it. It belongs to him. And so, and that's kind of hard to wrap your head around, huh?
Yeah, at first it might be, but the more you think about it, the more it actually does kind of make sense.
Yeah. And so here now, he goes on. Now, when we see the Lord Jesus in the beginning, pre-existent, God, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they existed together. Again, now, they had no beginning and they have no end.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we see that in deity, they're all equal. But here in the Godhead, we see that there's a chain of command, that the Father gives the marching orders, the Son always carries them out, and the Holy Ghost always provides the power, huh?
Yeah.
And so here we see, he's, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Well, God the Father gave the order to create, and we see that in Genesis 1 there. And God the Son, he carried it out, he did the creation, and the Holy Ghost provided the power. And we see that all through Scripture, where the Father is giving the marching orders. And what would you say? Well, I would say that the most important part of all of that, in obedience, when Christ was obedient to the Father, what would you say that event was?
The most important event?
Mm-hmm.
Coming to earth and dying for our salvation.
Yeah, it's Calvary, huh?
Yeah.
It was Calvary. That's the most
throughout time. All of time.
So he goes on to say, in him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, here, when he's talking about the darkness comprehended it not, the darkened minds of sin-blinded men mm-hmm. could not, because they what? They would not, huh?
No, they would not.
Come to the light when it was offered to them. Then men loved darkness. We read that more than light over in chapter 3:19. And so here, and of course, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:6, he tells you also, too, that their eyes were blinded. Their eyes were blinded, okay, by the prince of this world. And so here now, I want to jump over. But the question is this. What was God doing prior? What was God doing prior to the creation of Genesis 1? What was he doing? How many years was it? Of course, we don't know.
But yeah, we can't measure. There was no time, so there was no years. There wasn't until he created time. You know, he was just, he was always there.
Well, maybe how long was it before Genesis 1 that he created time? I mean, we don't know, do we?
No. I mean, he could have spent, what would amount to years or decades or centuries to us, maybe planning the creation. I don't know. He spoke it and it came into existence, so I don't know how much planning was actually needed, you know?
Well, over in John 17, verse 24, Jesus, in his humanity, acknowledged that he was with the Father, and he was loved by the Father. Remember, this was the Lord's Prayer, okay, before the foundation of the world. So, can you imagine being one of the apostles, and the Lord's looking at you, and he says, before this earth was created, before this earth existed, I was with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And, think of that.
It kind of blows your mind.
Yeah, but can you imagine the mind, of the apostles when they're looking at this, what they're thinking?
Yeah, and they don't have, all they have at that point is the Old Testament and the living Jesus in front of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That we at least have the New Testament to read through and to try to comprehend. Like, they're experiencing it themselves live right there.
Right. Let's go take a look, because now, here again, we talk about in the beginning, but then the question is, if we go over to Hebrews chapter 7, in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, some people say, well, you see, now this is contradictory, but really, I don't think so. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being the interpretation of king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is the king of peace, without the father, without mother, without descent, having neither a beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Okay? So, you know, the name Melchizedek means King of Righteousness, mm-hmm. and Salem means, you know, the peace. So here, people, you know, for decades, people have been wondering, who is this mysterious person? It's pretty obvious, I think.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like Jesus.
Yeah, it sounds a whole lot like what we call Christophany, huh?
Yes.
And so, because it says he was the priest of the Most High God, right? So, who is the priest of the Most High God? The Lord Jesus Christ is the high priest of the Most High God, right? And so it's in very, very interesting passage of scripture. But he says now, again, that he was without father. I mean, the Lord Jesus had a father, right?
Well, our father, God our father.
Mm-hmm. So, was he really the father of the Lord in the sense that we look at the word father, or was he that part of the Godhead, the Trinity?
Yeah, well, this is before he came and became man. So this would be, you know, before, I mean, there's no, it would be without mother as well there, because this is before he was born unto the Virgin Mary.
So if he was with the Father at the very, let's say, since there is no beginning at the start, if there could be a start, then he couldn't be like with us, because in that sense of being begotten, it wasn't the same sense as being born.
No, yeah.
It was a whole different situation. But here, when we know that without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. So, of course, we know today that, again, just now, this was prior to Moses and the Levitical priesthood and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that going back here, one intercessor between man, and he was there too. He was like a comfort to Abraham. And in fact, now he appeared here. We just mentioned 12 different names of the Lord. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, he appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre. But he appeared as the Lord there in the plains of Mamre. And so here now, and of course, that was Christophany. Now he appeared there to do what? To comfort Abraham. And here he's referring to the very same thing, to comfort Abraham. And so, as he and Abraham paid tithes to him, being that he was the high priest. And today, when we tithe in church, we're tithing to the Lord, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, today, Christ is the high priest. That started at Calvary. What took place there at the very last part of the fifth dispensation, the dispensation of law, when Christ, who gave up the ghost, when he gave up the ghost upon the cross, he said, "It is finished." Several things happened. The earth quaked, the graves were opened, the veil of the temple was rent. Now, that veil was anywhere from 11 to 14 feet high. And in some parts, it was from 4 to 6 inches thick, that veil. It wasn't, you know, just a curtain. It was very heavy, heavy duty, made, you know, many layers.
Mm-hmm.
And here, what was the purpose of it being rent from top down?
Kind of to reveal.
Well, it was revealed. So remember the purpose there. You in that time, you would take your, you would prepare a sacrifice. You would take it to the priest, and the priest would offer it up.
Well, it's no longer needed then.
Right. So now, when they the first of all, the purpose that the it was rent this huge curtain. I mean, it would take mighty forces to rent this curtain, and it was rented from the top down, showing you that it was God Himself that He was doing it. It was only God could do that. So God rent the temple or rent the curtain, and He made a. The point was from now on here. There is no longer have to prepare a sacrifice. Everything changes now. We enter into the sixth dispensation period, and like in Jeremiah 31:31, there's a new covenant now. So now our sacrifices are different. They're not, you know, bullocks and doves and so. What are the sacrifices now?
Well, Jesus was our sacrifice.
Well, yeah, He was, but He was the sacrifice. But when we go to order today, when we offer up our sacrifices to the Lord, what are the sacrifices that we offer up?
Ourselves?
No. Well, yeah, in that sense where He tells you in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that to use our bodies in the service of the Lord is a reasonable sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, but our sacrifices are praise, our sacrifices are worship, our sacrifices are service, okay?
Following His commandments.
Right, that's obedience. So those are our sacrifices today, praise, worship, you know, obedience, and service to the Lord. And what about tithing? And so those are the sacrifices today. So that it changed from that point on. And now we had one high priest, and we became ourselves a nation of priests, a royal priesthood, living stones, okay? And so here we go back to the way it was there. So here he describes what is being described here, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning or days or end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. So it tells you pretty clear there, okay, that was Christ basically serving in a different office at that time, okay? So with that, I think we'll stop right here and we take a break. We'll be back after this.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world
still part of the season, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what? Tomorrow, which is Tuesday, right?
Yes.
Okay, same thing like last week. Tuesday came right after Monday. But
yeah,
anyhow,
it's crazy. Every week.
Yeah, I know. 1 p.m. tomorrow, missionaries to the preborn. They will be out there, Lord's willing, in front of Planned Predators, the most wicked, evil, ungodly, unclean, creeping, crawling purveyor of death in the world. Killed more human beings than any army. Evil to the core. Completely evil, okay? Anyhow, they'll be out there at the right on the corner in front of Planned Parenthood trying to save some babies. They're going to be out there. So pray for them out there. And if you can, I want to thank the new folks that did come out and join them. Come out and stand with them. Come out and stand with them tomorrow. Route 43 in Rockside in Bedford Heights. That's Route 43 in Bedford, right on the corner. And the missionaries to the preborn. And we've been doing this, folks, ever since, well, since 73. We've been doing it. And so come and stand with us. We've saved a lot of babies over the years. We really have, but only a small percentage of the ones that they killed.
It's crazy how, just personally, how naive I was in my younger days, because I used to drive by there all the time and see it, Planned Parenthood, and had no clue that it was an abortion clinic. You look at the sign and you're like, Planned Parenthood, oh, okay, they're helping people become parents. No, it's the exact opposite.
You're telling me. Let me ask you this, though. When did you stop being naive?
When did I stop?
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
All right. Think on that. All right, very good. Yeah, you're right. It's wicked. Everything about them is a lie.
It's deceptive. Everything. Yeah, everything's deceptive.
Even their name's a lie. It's Planned Parenthood, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Wicked and evil. Now, Trump says his doge is going to defund them.
Good.
And I'm looking for... Oh, Lord, folks, everybody out there, let's pray right now. Everybody join me. Folks out there, please join us. Join us in this one right now. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come before you, Lord, I pray that the people you're hearing our voice out there, and the people are rising up and praying and asking you, Lord, to defund that wicked, evil, ungodly, evil, you know, purveyors of death. They're so evil. They're so evil. They've been so evil. They sell body parts, baby body parts, and there's no end to their ungodliness and their uncleanness. So, Lord, I just would pray, Father God, Lord, that you would defund them, Father God, the wicked, those that refuse to repent, that you would remove them, Lord. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Anyhow, some good things is happening out there, you know. Right now, you know, it looks like the entire world is recognizing Donald Trump as the president.
Yes, they are. Well, Biden's hasn't done anything in 3.5 years. Why would he start now? I mean, anything good, anyways.
Well, he did one thing just recently when he was in Africa. He fell asleep during their dinner.
And then he's always wandering off when they're trying to take the group photos. And
yeah,
but yeah, I mean, Trump's got all the power politically right now. He doesn't have any of the executive power at the moment, you know, which, you know, is kind of a dangerous area where we're at, because we still have this guy as our president for another month and a half, you know, so he's the one that still has the executive power. Even though he's not doing anything with it, which is good, but you know, if anything were to happen, this is the guy who's still in charge right now.
Well, it looks like he's trying his best to get us in a world war.
That's what it seems like, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyhow, there are some good things. Trump's for ambassador to Mexico is Carrie Lake.
Good, I like her.
Now, why do you think that would be such a good pick?
No, because she knows firsthand what the border situation looks like.
She does.
Right there from Arizona.
Right there, Maricopa County. She was saying, look, here, Katie Hobbs and that group out there, they're, you know, the drug cartels are running that county.
Mm-hmm.
And Katie Hobbs is up to her eyeballs in cahoots with the drug cartels, isn't she?
It sure seems like it.
Yeah. And so, and, you know, here, you know, the election fraud, unbelievable, complete election fraud in Maricopa, corrupt county. And so here now, so she knows all about that.
Yeah, she does. She lost the governorship, the race to election fraud, or what certainly appears to be election fraud, and now the Senate seat as well.
Yeah. And believe me, it's election fraud. You know, it is a real election fraud. And so, anyhow, as ambassador to Mexico, and she'll be a good one, she's going to deal with that on the border, I think, won't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, big time.
Now, old J.D. Vance, he's not real happy with the way FEMA had responded for its, its response to the hurricane and the flooding in North Carolina.
Yeah.
They were pumping all kinds of money was going to the illegal aliens down there. But the money was coming very, very slowly. In fact, do we have a clip on that or no?
Yeah, we do. This was, he was down, I believe this was North Carolina, and he was surveying the area and talking to some porters again. Not in power yet, you know, but he's the soon-to-be vice president, and our current vice president's nowhere to be found. But, yeah, here's a clip of J.D. Vance.
Things you want people in this area to see change under your administration that starts in January?
Well, I think, one, hopefully it doesn't take 45 days for this to happen. But as I mentioned earlier, Tom and Ted have explicitly asked the Biden administration to grant the FEMA waiver that would allow mobile homes to come back to this area, that would actually give people some short and maybe some medium-term housing. I mean, Tom and Ted are welcome to talk about that if they want to say more. I hope it doesn't take 45 days, but if, God forbid, it takes 45 days, that's something that is going to change immediately under President Trump's leadership. Think about it. The argument here is that you can't allow people to put mobile homes in a floodplain, in an area that has the risk of flood damage. Well, that's pretty much this entire area, an area of the state of Massachusetts. If you don't grant a waiver, you're effectively telling people they've got to move hundreds of miles away and do it 2 weeks before Christmas. It's ridiculous, it's atrocious, and we need a government that responds quickly to the needs of its citizens. So much of the frustration at FEMA, at everybody else, it's not malice. I don't believe that the officials of the Biden administration are intentionally doing bad things, but it's bureaucratic red tape, it's slowness, it's a bureaucracy that is moving at the speed of a glacier when what you need is people to respond to the concerns of the people of Western North Carolina.
Well, I happen to know without a doubt that the Biden regime is doing bad things. I happen to know without a doubt that purposely keeping the border open and bringing in more and more, doing as much as they can, flying in more and more illegals, invaders into our country, bringing in drugs. Now, all of a sudden, now that he's going to be out of office, I guess he wants his legacy. He wants to make it look like he was actually trying to do something. So now he's starting to reverse his own policies on the border. But Biden brought in over 20 million, closer to 30 million people into this country, invaders into this country. And listen.
Well, they were hoping to bring in votes. That's what they were hoping to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that was obviously the game plan there.
Well, the game plan was they were getting their orders from communist China. And this is where, they got a lot of, the Biden crime family got a lot of money. If that ever comes out how much they got from China. Now, Congress knows about certain amounts of it, but
we're not done with pardons yet either, so.
No, and so you have, and again, to keep them, here's the reason that Kamala did not want any part of that border czar. She knows that it's going to come down, it's come out sooner or later. And Mariakas was the one, he was involved up to his eyeballs. He was getting rich off basically child sex trafficking coming through that border. People will find this. It's all going to come out. In fact, it's coming out. It's been coming out in these documentaries. The number of the documentaries. We had one that we looked at, and unfortunately, when these documentaries are made, they do not blank out some of the foul language. You know, as these things are being filmed, often there's foul language being used, and sometimes, and they would be so much smarter if they would, you know, just kind of black that out of the film because...
Yeah, it hinders the message. It keeps it from getting further away because, like, we can't play that here on air. I mean, we'd have to bleep it out, which we could do, but it probably gets to a point to where it's losing its meaning or you're not grasping things because there's so many censoring of it.
Yeah. Well, not just that. We, you know, time to time we have, like, we have in the... Class, one of the classes is the Bible and current events, and then we have on a Saturday we'll have like an all-day film fest there where you show different documentaries, and then you know how they coincide with the Bible, the Word of God, and here again this trafficking. You know, we talked about that last night at the Bell the Third. That's where he made all his money, trafficking human beings, and that's where. The whole Biden crime cartel. You got 300,000 children missing
that we know of.
Right,
that's a thing too. That's the numbers we know of. What are they not telling us? What's the real numbers?
Well, and you saw how that Mariakas had that smirk. He was set there, and he lied under oath. You see him smirking because he knows that we don't have an attorney general. He's a whore, okay? Merrick Garland is put in there. He, too, lied under oath. Now, when I say he's a whore, the Bible tells you, go to Hosea 4, go to Ezekiel, Isaiah. You'll see where the people that did what they do, what Mariakas and what Garland and Chris Ray did, they referred to them as whores. Mm-hmm. They referred to them as whores, okay? They've gone a whoring, okay, in the corruption. And so here, Mariakas knew that Garland, you know, he had to keep him, he had to protect him because, you know, it could come back to him. He's a part of it. They were all part of this whole operation. And so now that brings us down to there's a list. And the left, to put this out, the left is scared to death. And they've even written up their own list of the people they think that Trump is going to come after.
Mm-hmm. They want Biden to pardon this list, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Certainly do.
Yeah, preemptive pardons.
No, Biden will sell pardons. I mean, you know, as long as the money's right. Now, somebody
why wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, like Anthony, what's his name? Chaffee. He can... what's his last name? Chaffee.
Who's that?
Anthony, the so-called Fauci. Anthony.
Oh, Fauci. Yeah.
Why did I say Chaffee? I know why. I said
Dr.
Chaffee.
Death.
There was a prison inmate named Chaffee, and his name was Tony. And so, anyhow, here's some of the people that he's referring to: Joe Biden, Trump. Has vowed to appoint a real special prosecutor to go after Biden. It was interesting. You know, Joe Biden is referred to as a hot wife. This woman, you know, they've seen her kissing people. I mean, you know, not just, you know, a peck on the cheek. I mean, long kissing. She was kissing Obama. She was kissing, you just about name it. All these different people she met, she was kissing. And here today with Trump, when she was shaking hands with Trump, she had that look in her eye.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of admiration in that one gaze.
Yeah, you saw that?
I saw that, yes. That he used it in an ad. If that's actually, if he actually did that, or if that was just someone making a meme out of it, but for a cologne that said, even my enemies can't resist it. Something
I'm not talking about the ad. I'm talking about the actual the actual event that took place, you know that, you know, I mean, that everybody was there and was, it wasn't.
Yeah, no, well, the picture was real, and that's, yeah, that's what the picture was from, but the meme was used as for an ad for a Trump cologne, a fight Trump cologne.
I heard about that. I didn't see it, but I've heard me. Oh, that's amazing. You know, the funny part is you got some of these world leaders now that are doing the Trump dance.
Yes.
It is.
It's taking the world by storm.
Yeah. And so the next one he was going to go after would be Kamala Harris. Trump said that she should be prosecuted for her actions concerning the border.
Mm-hmm. Or lack of actions concerning the border, because she did nothing.
That's right. Okay. She didn't do anything to stop the corruption and the flow. She was supposed to be her job to stop the flow of the illegals, but she didn't want any part of that. She didn't really want to be the border's hour at all, did she?
No. She never. She would she go down there once on a campaign trail, and the most the safest part of the border she'd go to.
Yeah, but now what would you, if you were a prosecutor, if you were, let's say, Pam Bondi, what would you prosecute her for?
I'm sure there's any number of things that you could. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look into everything and see where everything connects first. I'd have to see where.
What about bailing, burn, loot, and murder in Antifa? After they burnt, loot, and murdered, after they got arrested, she bailed them out and put them back on the street to continue to burn, loot, and murder.
Yeah, that's a bad decision, but I don't know if that's something that you can prosecute her for. I don't know. I'm not that well-versed.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely more than a dereliction of duty, okay? Just like, you know, you got this Bragg guy, okay, there in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They had that Daniel... Daniel Penny,
case. Yeah.
Yeah. This Bragg, this guy, one thing, he's a racist. I mean, he's a racist. And the other thing here, can you imagine, I mean, that case never should have been brought to trial to begin with.
No.
Do you know what the result's going to be? Here's what the Democrats, the corrupt... gangs have gathered. The gangs have gathered, look, now we can go out there on the trains, we can rob people, no one's going to dare try to stop us, nobody's going to stand up to them, because now they'll prosecute us. They'll prosecute anyone who tries to stop us. So we can go out and rape, beat, and murder, and if someone tries to stop us, Bragg will prosecute him. That's the message.
Yeah, but the other message is, though, too, which was given to everyone by the jury, the other message is, too, is that if you're in the right, you're in the right. You know, this is New York. It's an extremely liberal city. He was lucky to get the jury that he did. But they all ride the subway. So they all know firsthand what goes down on those subways. And for someone to actually stand up, he needs to be applauded for his consistent bravery.
Yeah, well, that's true. But what I'm telling you is the message that Bragg sent to the people, look, you saw what we did to Penny. If you interfere when somebody is being beaten or raped, it'll happen to you. We'll go after you if you try to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the message Bragg sent.
Yeah, but you got to stand up to that.
Yeah, I know that. Okay, but you know how people are. There are people.
Oh, I know people get timid. And how many people were still standing there, just watching everything and allowing it to happen? There was, I believe, one other person helping him.
Yeah. And so here, so the next one he was going to go after is Barack Hussein Obama Nation. Barack Obama. He says that he should be held and brought before a military tribunal, and he should be. Now, what's happening with Obama nowadays? Obama, was slapped down by the election victory of Trump.
Yep.
So with Obama, remember, Obama brought these policies in. Remember, for 8 years, every day we told you, do you see what he's doing now?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what he's doing now? Do you see what he's doing now?
He's setting things up.
Right. And remember, he was talking about this whole idea that you wanted to have a civilian army that was more powerful than the military. He wanted to have his people. This is what he was bringing in, the gangs, all the gangs he was bringing in. Behind all of this stuff with the burn, loot, and murder, what they call Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
All these Antifa. This is what Obama was about, but now it's falling apart in front of him. We see that here woke is broke. Woke is broke.
Woke is broke, and America's waking up to what woke actually is.
And we saw that Obama committed high treason when he purged 11 four-star generals,
mm-hmm.
and he put people like Milley in there.
Incompetence.
Bootlickers.
Yep.
Bootlickers, okay? And so all of these people, Trump says Obama should be brought before a military tribunal. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if he was? No.
Now, I don't think we'd ever hear about it, though.
I don't know.
That's the thing with these military tribunals. I mean, I don't believe they're public. I think these people would just kind of disappear.
They're not public. You don't have cameras in the courtroom, but it gets out. I mean, it might
eventually, but
yeah, it gets out. I mean, it's news, but you're right. It's, you don't get the publicity you get like the Daniel Penny trial, and then Liz Cheney.
Oh, Liz.
Okay, guilty of treason and urging that she should also be tried by a military tribunal. She's
certainly guilty of tampering with a witness in the J6 committee.
Yeah.
You saw that story come out.
Yep, and not only that, but that right there is enough, but she's also, been a big part of the military-industrial complex. She's a warmonger.
Yep, just like your daddy.
Yeah, she made a lot of money off wars, okay, using our people as fodder. And then, of course, you've got Adam Schiff, pencil neck.
Shifty Schiff.
Yeah. Here, again, he should be... Again, another one that should be brought before. Because he's a military tribunal. Schiff committed high treason. He's lied under oath and lied and lied and lied under oath.
Yep. Anyone involved with that whole fake Russian collusion and the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax, anyone involved in that really should be tried for treason.
Right. He knew all along he was blatantly lying. He knew he was blatantly lying out... And it's like, well, you know what? Who's going to prosecute me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't have a prosecutor. Well, now we're about to have a prosecutor, although there's a lot of things happening out there. You know, California is still counting the votes. and they're planning on saying that Trump didn't get the popular votes after all because they keep finding...
Yeah.
More and more.
Yeah, I bet they do, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a testament to the California public school system that they're still counting.
yeah. And so here, I know we're coming to a break. We have to do this one after the break because, well, things aren't going so well for Nancy Pelosi nowadays. She has caused so much problem within the collective. The collective now is turning against her.
That's a shame. She seems so nice.
Yeah. They're They are turning against her. Remember the enemy from within as she sat behind President Trump when he was giving the State of the Union and tore it up?
Mm-hmm.
She said that was treason.
Yep. That was an official document.
Yep. And that was treason, what she did. And so, again, the problem of it was Trump didn't have a Justice Department, did he?
No. He had a bunch of spineless people that, you know, he brought on with people recommended. There were bad recommendations, and he learned a lot.
Yeah. Well, she's been turning on. She turned on the Bidens. She turned on Joe now. And by the way, did you see how some big event that they just had today, where the Bidens were there, and Kamala, Jill Biden snubbed Kamala. Did you see that?
Oh no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, she snubbed her. Yep, right there.
What was the event? What was that for?
It was, you know, I don't really know. I just watched it on Fox News. They were showing you how here she snubbed. She was said hi to everyone, but Kamala was standing right there, and she wouldn't even talk to her.
Well, I mean, who do you think was the prime one to push him out?
Yeah, we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.